Hey friends, in today's episode, we're going to get really candid and real about what happens when we try to change someone else, even when it's totally in their best interest. Whether you're a parent, a boss, a friend, through relationships, or we're just tempted to try to improve others. But there are these three things that we can do that can bring some huge positive outcomes without all the negative kickback that comes when we're trying to change people. Let's dive in. Hey, it's Carrie, and you're listening to I Meant to Do That, the podcast that's all about living more authentically. Have you ever felt stuck in that people-pleasing and perfectionist cycle, juggling too much, losing focus, and drowning in unnecessary busyness that pulls you away from your true path? You're not alone. I've been there too. In this podcast, we'll share stories and breakthrough strategies that help you get free from that whirlwind and be motivated to enact significant and positive shifts in your life. Are you ready for more energy to be yourself and focus on what matters most? Well, it's time to live authentically, driven, and inspired. Your life is a canvas, and guess what? God hands you the brush. Welcome to I Meant to Do That, where authenticity meets inspired action. Hey, welcome, friends. So glad that we could spend this time together. I'm grateful that you're here. Thank you. If you are new, I want to give you a great big warm welcome and just tell you to come on into the episode. I hope you love it. I hope that you find this time valuable because today I am sharing with you something that has very much changed my life for the better. And even though I learned this lesson, and I know, and you know too, we cannot change people. We know we can't. We know we can only change ourselves. Even though I learned this, I still need the reminders. I still need to keep practicing it and getting better at it. And I know you do too. I know everybody does. And so today we're going to open up this whole topic and we're just going to be honest about it and look at it from a couple different angles. Also, I want to share with you three things that are so good, especially when you're in a relationship where you feel like it's too tempting. It's hard to resist trying to change that person. You know, it's hard and it's frustrating sometimes because we know what this person needs to do differently, right? We feel like we know what they need to stop doing or do differently or start doing. And it can be extraordinarily hard to not try to change someone when we love them, we care about them, it's someone that's very close to us. But the difficult truth is we cannot change anyone, and sometimes we don't know what's best. So let's talk about it. Because if we're trying to change someone, it almost always has a negative effect, not only on the person that we're trying to change. And if you've been on the receiving end of that, you know, at best, it's very annoying, but also it has a negative effect on our own lives, carrying that weight, carrying that burden. It affects our decision-making. It impacts our ability to take care of ourselves, like proper self-care. Our anxiety is always going to go up, and it also inhibits us from really living our own lives. I know I have spent countless amounts of energy in certain times of my life trying to change someone because I love them and because I care. And at one point, I did it to such an extent that I really did make myself sick. And we learn this lesson, and then it's like we have some type of amnesia and we forget it. And then again, we kind of pick up this job and we go right in and think it's our thing to do. And I've been there. I totally get it. But we cannot change people. And let's be honest, when we really think about it, it can make us uncomfortable. Because wouldn't it be nice if we could sometimes go in and just make those changes for that person because we want what's best for them. So it can be this battle. We know we can't change them, But here we are trying to change them. And I fall into it too. So I'm going to be giving myself all kinds of reminders through this episode because it is incredibly empowering once you accept it. Truth is, we have been conditioned though. We've really been conditioned to feel like it's our job to try to change people. And if you're like me, and I know some of you are, you're a recovering people pleaser or a recovering perfectionist. I guarantee you try to change people sometimes just because that's one of your traits. When you're a person who likes to try to please people, you also have this need to be needed. You have this ability to notice what other people are feeling and what they need. You go out of your way to work to improve other people's lives. You know, sometimes you allow people's wants to go ahead of your needs, and there's all kinds of opportunity to try to change people. If you're a person of faith, if you grew up in the church, if you're a Christian, I know that you've been conditioned to think it's sometimes your job to change people. In Christianity, unfortunately, we tend to take most issues and spiritualize them. And when we over-spiritualize issues, we can ignore our own instincts that might kind of keep us from trying to change people and take that on. Sometimes we ignore our own sense of uneasiness, like that just gets switched off. And we spiritualize issues and we need to have more faith, or we're supposed to be really believing and working for people for their better. We're supposed to sacrifice, die to ourselves, all kinds of things. Or our God's the God of miracles, just keep believing and keep hoping. But what happens when we're doing this and we're trying to change people is we become this person that we don't recognize, this person that we don't even want to be. We're not being who we really are. And that is frustrating to ourselves, but of course it's frustrating to other people. We start to get annoying. We can get controlling. We get bossy. We definitely get anxious. We can get naggy, upset, frustrated. It's going to disrupt relationships. It can even destroy relationships. And then when things don't go your way, and usually they don't, you can be left with this confusion of what went wrong. You can have this regret when you do see yourself and like, I cannot believe I said all those things and I kept hounding this person. And it also just steals your energy and your time. It distracts you from working on the only person you can change, which is yourself. It distracts you from your goals. It pulls you from kind of the more positive things going on in your life because your focus is misplaced. Have you ever tried to change someone? Have you ever? I know you have, and I know someone has tried to change you, 100%. But often I feel like we just aren't even aware that we're doing it. I mean, sometimes we're aware. Sometimes we're working hard, like the instance that I'm thinking of where I even bought a program that said it could give me the tools to change this person's behavior. I mean, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I was a desperate woman. And I really knew that this person needed to change for their own good. It was damaging them, their behavior. So sometimes we make it our mission to change someone. And that's what I did. And, you know, if that person is really close to you, it's a spouse, it's an adult child, but, you know, it's a sibling, a good friend, and that person is engaged in stuff that's kind of, you know, wrecking their life. Or if this person is a really difficult person, we can feel really desperate to change them. And we care so much, but it crosses that line to now we're changing and now we're controlling. And it's like we start to own the outcome, their life outcome and their choices. We own it like it's our responsibility. It becomes this huge, heavy weight and it gets really personal. And then when the person fails to change, we can become resentful. We can blame them. We can turn it on ourselves. We can blame ourselves. We can spiritualize it and think we didn't pray enough. We didn't have enough faith. Maybe we didn't sacrifice enough. It just gets really, really ugly and really yucky. And we feel like, you know, what a big failure. So sometimes we're aware. We take it on as our project. Sometimes we're not really aware. It can just be these little small things too, not necessarily making this big project of a person. So here's an example I have, and I made up this example with my made up friend, and her name is Paula, because I don't have any friends named Paula. So I'm using, and I've never had a client named Paula. So there we go. But Paula likes to eat donuts for breakfast every morning. She has 2 donuts or 3 donuts. And I recognize this. I'm like, oh, it's not good for Paula to be eating donuts for breakfast every morning. And so I might try to change her with a passive approach. And that could sound like, hey, Paula, I brought you breakfast this morning. I baked you these pumpkin flax muffins. I thought you might like to try them. And I bake these every morning. I don't really, but now I'm going to. I bake these every morning and I can, you know, pack you a couple and bring them. I'm going to do that, okay? Or I could do the direct approach where, hey, Paula, every day, those donuts are so bad for you. You should stop eating them. Now, I could say those things and I'm not trying to change her. But if I'm changing her, I'm going to the next level. I'm thinking about it. It's really important to me. I'm making it kind of my small mission to change Paula. So it doesn't stop there. I'm going to be discussing it. I'll be coming up with some things to help convince her. I'll be maybe coming with the encouraging approach, asking her to do a challenge with me for eating healthy. I really am going to be prodding her to change that morning habit. I'm going to be thinking about this more than she is. After a while, Paula is going to be, no matter how nice she is, she's going to be like, hey, Carrie, I like donuts, okay? Sometimes I eat 2. Once in a while, I might eat 3. But I eat a lot of vegetables. I eat protein. Honestly, why are you being so annoying? This is my life. Just leave me alone. And she doesn't say that. She's thinking it. She's going to say it to someone else. My relationship is in trouble with Paula. And I might still not get it. Like, oh, Paula, you just don't understand. I just care about you and I want what's best. And that's what friends do. And we are. We're doing it for their good. We're doing it with best intentions, at least most of the time. And there's all kinds of reasons why we want to change someone, valid reasons. We want them to stop drinking so much. Maybe we want them to stop working so much. We want them to find a job they love so they're not miserable. We want them to leave a relationship. We want them to read the Bible more, stop wasting money on impulse spending. We believe we know what's best for that person because, I mean, after all, I mean, nobody should be eating 3 donuts every morning. I mean, everyone should stop wasting money and, you know, not impulse spend, and people should exercise more. So yeah, to you and me, yes, right? We think that's true. And yet, you know, fun fact, we never really know as much as we think that we do. That's just a little nugget that we all could carry in our pocket and just remember that more than we do. You know, and there's a great deal that we don't know. And let's remember, change is hard. We just know that from our own personal experience. Think of the thing, that habit that you have that you want to change about yourself. It's hard to change. But sometimes we just see that process as being so much simpler, so much more straightforward when it's something that we want for someone else, right? Then that's just how it works. But of course, I'm not saying we should stop giving someone some advice, especially if they ask for it, or share our opinion. We can express concern. We can encourage someone to make a positive change, right? And so, of course, we're not going to stop all those things. Those are conversations that happen in relationships all of the time, even when someone isn't, you know, taking on that job and they're crossing that line and they're trying to change that person. They just say it, they share it, and they have open hands and they just let that person still, you know, live their life and make their choices, and we respect that person. But, you know, when we're around people all the time, it's like, you know, all the time, we have this hyper awareness. We're going to notice those things about other people and what they want to change, whether we really want to do it or not. I mean, that's just how we work. It's how people work. If it makes you feel better, other people are noticing things about you too that maybe are a little irritating or annoying or not in your best interest. Maybe they're habits that really aren't helpful. They're going to notice those things too. That's just why we all need some humility as we go through life, right? It's natural to want to help people and help them improve when we see something. And for some of us, it's more natural because we just have that personality makeup. You know, I mentioned earlier that we don't always know what's best for someone, and that's true. Sometimes our motives are just so purely altruistic. It's purely for their good that we're even entering the world of trying to change them. But sometimes we want people to change because it would make life a little easier for us, a little better for us. It's going to fit our preferences. I know we're not all moms out there, but sometimes I wanted to rush my child a little bit through a certain phase because it would really make my life a whole lot better if I could just make that change. And we all have those relationships where we feel like if I could change this thing, just would alleviate some stress for me. I want to change everyone who talks with food in their mouths because that just can irritate me. So let's talk about how it damages us. One other way it damages us when we're trying to change people, I mean, it's kind of a big one. We're really chaining ourselves to someone else's behavior. We're chaining ourselves to that. And we can't really change the behavior, but it's consuming our energy and our time and our focus. We're so heavily invested. And another way it damages us, and I don't know if we think about this so much, it creates this tendency to cling to hope. And it's that deferred kind of hope. The kind that Proverbs says makes the heart sick. There are four separate times in this past decade when I had to release the job of changing someone and just accept that this person is who he or she is. Now, when I say accept, I don't mean it like I accept it like, oh, it's totally fine with me, good, not that kind of accept, but it's the kind of accept where I realize this is who they are and it's not my job to change them. And when I accepted it, I had to face, now what am I going to do? I can't change this person. I'm not going to try to change this person. They're going to be who they're going to be. So now what do I do with that? And I'll tell you, that can be very difficult because now that just moves us into this whole other area. And it can be fuzzy and it can be scary. And when I had to do that, in one situation, it meant that I had to grieve the loss of what that relationship was never going to be. And I mean, most likely. And I had to accept it for what it would be. For another, it meant that I had to shift my efforts and prayed and loved that person from more of a distance and just relieve myself from being on that constant duty of hoping and working for change. Because the only person that we can change really is ourselves. And when we embrace that, we recognize that, then that's enough right there anyway. And the way I look at the word responsibility, we have responsibility when we have that response hyphen ability. We're able to respond. And so when we are around people who are, oh man, sometimes we're just tempted. We want to change that person. We remember that we have the ability to respond to that. And there are three ways. And I want to share those with you right now. One, we have the ability to live our own lives. It is not selfish to live the life that God has given you. It's not. There we go. Again, we can so spiritualize these things. We can stop living like a martyr. God hasn't called you. God hasn't called me to spend our lives trying to change someone else. And if you're a believer, that can be get a little fuzzy, but our primary focus isn't on changing people. It's sharing the love and the truth of Jesus with others. It's not trying to change them. That's the Holy Spirit's role, to convict, to transform hearts. Our responsibility is to just be a witness and reflect the character of Christ in our own lives. We can certainly share our faith. We can engage in conversations. We can talk about spiritual things. We can talk about other things. We can talk about, hey, this behavior I don't like. All of that happens, but ultimately it's up to each individual to respond to change, to make those decisions for themselves. So we can approach others with love, with respect. We want to listen to them. We really have to let someone else do the work that we don't have the power to do. So what this means is that we live our life, even if we have a difficult relationship, that we feel like it's our job to change. We live our life, learn about who you are, because if you're someone who's been going in and trying to change people and feeling that burden, that responsibility, if you're someone who kind of is more of a people pleaser, I promise you, you probably don't know yourself that well. Know what you enjoy, find out what you're naturally good at, make some goals that are connected with what you value, live the life God has given you. You're going to have more time and more energy to even do that when you're not draining yourself out trying to change what you can't change. Now, the second thing we need to do is we can stop obsessing. And I'm going to say it this way, we can be free from obsessing. Well, maybe you don't obsess. That's such a strong word. Maybe you just care. You just care a lot. You're an extra good caring person. And you think about ways that you can influence your friend or your loved one until they change. So we're going to call that obsessing. Whatever it is that is stealing your time, your mental or emotional energy or space in your head, that might be obsessing. It's whatever finds yourself doing or thinking you cannot let go. You can't let go of it. You can't enjoy vacation. You can't enjoy a nice day. You can't just let go, watch the movie, go to sleep. Now, some personalities are definitely more prone to this. But, you know, we can obsess because relationships matter. You know, it comes from a place of you really do care. And it really hits us in our hearts. We might even obsess because this behavior in our in this relationship, it's reminding us of past hurts. We feel helpless. We're afraid. Maybe others don't even understand or see what is going on, what that person is doing that's really a problem. I know I have gotten a bit obsessive about my kids, especially a couple during their teen years and their early adult years. And looking back, all of that, all that energy spent, it never did anything to help the situation. And it most definitely hurt me. In fact, it was when my oldest was in her second year away at college that I learned a hard lesson that I had to let go of that role that was never mine. And I had to be more present for my family, my other children, my health, my goals. One reminder that, you know, I can give myself that you can give yourself when you are finding that you might be getting a little bit caring or obsessive is just keep your head where your feet are. Just keep your head where your feet are. There's some other grounding type exercises that are take just like a couple minutes to kind of get yourself out of obsessing. And I even share one in one of my earlier episodes, but this is just a great phrase. Again, put this one in your pocket. Some people are not going to understand that you're choosing to stop trying to change and you're choosing to stop obsessing. They're not going to get it. Some people are uncomfortable really seeing you healthy and happy. It's true. I've experienced it myself. I have many clients who've experienced this too. So if it's happening to you, you are not alone. I had to repeatedly tell someone to stop sharing her investigative reporting on someone else with me. It was someone that I just like, no, I'm letting go. I'm not going to be trying to obsess and control. And I say, stop doing it. I had to do that so many times. Some are not going to understand, and that's okay, because you know you care, and you know you can care without obsessing. Sometimes living our own life is simply minding our own business, and we each have our own basket of things, you know, these things that are ours to tend to. So if like Mary down the street puts a 10-foot giraffe statue in her front yard and you don't have an HOA, well, you can live your own life. That's not in your basket. You don't have to be investing too much time on it. Just it's a happier way to be. The third thing that we need to remember that we can do in these relationships when we're tempted to try and change someone is we can just feel our own feelings and own them. We can have our own feelings. If you're a person who's prone to try to change others and take on that role, If you're a recovering people pleaser, you may have been at some point in your life discouraged from having your own feelings. But I mean, of course, we know we are really entitled to have our feelings. But you know, we also get to choose how we want to respond to them. Earlier, I mentioned that sometimes we want to change people because they're just annoying. They're just annoying us. Or it's just going to be way better for us if they change. Okay, that's normal. We can admit that. I think because I never believed for many years that my feelings were okay, or that I could just trust myself to engage with my feelings, I made this leap and I started trying to change others kind of as a way of just coping with the fact that this is just annoying. So if someone has like this pattern of maybe they're being late, right? Or maybe they have a pattern of being dishonest. Yeah, I can have negative feelings about it. And there are some things that can really touch a nerve with me. And you know what? That's okay. I can't change that person, but I can feel that emotion and then choose, what am I going to do with that emotion? I guess I have one more thing I need to share with you. So this is bonus. This is the fourth thing. And it really is important. We have to adjust our expectations. It's something that we can do. It's within our ability. And it comes back to that deferred hope or that false hope when we spiritualize things and we believe all things are possible. We start engaging in magical thinking. In my coaching practice, I've had dozens and dozens of clients who want to improve something in a relationship. It could be at work. It could be a family relationship, friend. It doesn't matter. Because with each client and with myself, I think we all need to at times ask ourselves this question. Hey, are you expecting your person to suddenly be different than who they are? My phrase for this is expect Bob to be Bob. Basically, it means if your person procrastinates like habitually, don't be surprised. Expect them to procrastinate. You know, it's just a fact. It's not judgment. It's not being mean to just expect it, to just know that about them. And expect doesn't mean approve. Doesn't mean you're approving of it, you like it, and it's okay. Just means you're expecting it. So how does this help us not fall into the trap of trying to change others? Well, when we have the right expectations, then we have reasonable emotions because of our reasonable expectations. And then we can respond with reasonable actions. I'm going to share a quick example because it comes up a lot. And I mean a lot with my clients. Many of them have a relationship with their mom as adults, and their mom has not doesn't really give approval, affirmation, or validation. And daughters, they tend to want to change this in their mom. So they end up feeling the hurt with each phone call, a holiday, or a visit, or whenever they give their mom another opportunity to express love or sincere interest. And what they get back is some cold indifference or like a demeaning comment. And I've learned even from my own experience that adjusting expectations is truly part of taking care of yourself in a good way. So expect Bob to be Bob. Expect Mom to be Mom. You're not going to change her today. Telling her about your successful endeavor, maybe, I don't know, you did a piano recital with your 20 amazing students. So sharing that, those words, they're not going to cause a breakthrough today. Adjust your expectations so that you have reasonable emotions, right? And that you can now just make a different choice. When we expect that our actions can change a person and what they do, then we're having magical formula thinking. It's like, if I do A for X amount of time with this much intensity, then this person is now going to do Z. We have to end that pattern of having the hope and disappointment. Hope, work, striving, disappointment. By adjusting our expectations, allow yourself to have your feelings and then choose the appropriate response and live your life. I know it's not easy. I've thrown a lot at you. We've got things like boundaries and, having communication skills. All of these different things help, but this is key. We can take your life and enjoy it again. You can have that freedom. You can lift that burden because it was never your job. It was never your job to do it anyway. But it doesn't come easy. It's not an instant fix. I'm going to leave you with this one phrase. It's not mine. I don't even know where I found it. But when I was preparing for this episode, I went back into some old notes from a class that I taught a ways back. And here it is. What you practice, you will be able to successfully practice. That's it. It's not about perfection. Some of these things, we just have to remind ourselves and keep practicing it. I'm not at all where I was before, at all. I'm so far from it, but I still need to practice it. But it's so worth it because of the freedom we gain, the better relationships that we have when we're not trying to change people and the focus is where it ought to be. We can care without trying to change. Thank you so much for listening. The best way that you can support this podcast is by hitting subscribe or like wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a rating and a review, and also send these out to your friends. You'll find links to all of the resources mentioned today in the show notes. Visit carriegoodman.com. On my website, I offer free resources as well as opportunities for group coaching, workshops, and soon-to-be courses. So check that out. Remember, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Be yourself. Enjoy today. This world needs you. Till next time.